This is Inman's Real Estate Radio, where we go behind the scenes with the industry's movers and shakers to learn what's next for real estate. For more insight, news, and analysis, visit Inman.com. Here's your host, Bernice Ross.
Welcome. I'm Bernice Ross, the CEO of RealEstateCoach.com, and I'm very happy to welcome a good friend and one of the top female speakers in the business. Her name is Tricia Andreasen. Tricia is a business strategist, and she's the best-selling author of Interfusion Marketing. It's a terrific book on how to build your business and the tips that you need to market online and in print. Tricia has a new book that she's going to be visiting with us today called Resilience in the Storm, and I really love this title. So what we're going to be talking about today are 10 ways to build resilience in your business. Tricia, thank you for being with us today.
It's a pleasure, Bernice, always.
So let's get to the 10 tips. So your tip number one is to practice mindfulness. What do you mean by mindfulness, and how can our listeners go about doing that?
Here's the situation, Bernice. A lot of times as single agents, we'll be looking at our own production list and we'll say, oh man, there's, you know, I don't have enough listings, or how many buyers do I have? And then you hear from others that, oh, well, this is where the market is, or this is normal. What I find is there is a difference between a fact and the truth. So a fact is, yeah, own it. I don't have enough listings right now, or I'd like to have more buyers in my pipeline. That's the fact. But the truth that you can focus on is saying and restating that in mindfulness. Well, I've been here before, and you know what? When I focus and when I'm intentional in my priorities and my activities, the truth is I can get this done. I can build my listing inventory. I can bring more connection with my buyers. I think that's really important to understand where you are versus the truth of knowing what's inside of you to get something done.
Tricia, that takes us right into tip number two, which is what you can really control versus what you can't control. So how do our listeners go about drawing the line between those two ideas?
So I remember going into my little office before that office meeting and standing up straight, and Bernice, you're going to think I'm crazy, but I felt like Supergirl, where she has the long cape, and standing up in state and saying, okay, well, I'm Supergirl and I can't walk on my own cape, so I need to be careful. And I thought, okay, what can I control instead of listening to this? Well, I can control my attitude when I walk in there and sit down. I can control where my focus is. I can still prospect today. I can still look at this in my planner. I can still do this relationship or get personal referrals. And I can control how I look at the market. And boy, I tell you what, whenever I looked internally on what I could control, it was naturally easier for me to release what I didn't need to be focused on and what I needed to not be in control over. Because sometimes we get into controlling over situations that there is no way that we can make that change.
So, Tricia, let's go on to tip number three. Sometimes we get caught in a struggle and it overwhelms us so badly that we're not able to take that next step forward. So what's one step I can do to move forward when I'm facing something where I've just kind of hit the wall and I'm stopped?
This really holistically speaks to me, because I will share, I just had that experience recently where even though I share about not letting something control you, sometimes it's hard when someone is in your environment and they don't necessarily see your vision or your picture, Bernice. We've all been there, right? So what I've noticed is we can't say, oh, okay, what we want the end big goal to be, or, oh, tomorrow is another day. Even though we hold on to that, sometimes we're in such the muddle of the mud, if you will, that we just have to do one thing to move us forward. It could be like the smallest little baby step, but what could you do to help yourself move forward when you feel like you're in overwhelm and you're like, this is just too big, or this goal that I set for myself for, you know, fourth quarter or for the next year, I don't know if I can do that. So what I do personally and what I'll coach my clients on is, okay, if you could only focus on one thing, what would that be to help you feel like your day was productive? Well, I could call three of my past clients and get some testimonials right on. And before we do this dump of all of these activities, I'll say, why don't you focus on that? And then let's move forward to what's next. Because what will happen is momentum will start taking place without you even realizing the momentum has started. So it takes just one step, one activity to move you forward. So I encourage you to do that.
Tricia, that's so important. It's taking that just that one step, whatever it is, and it can be a baby step, but nevertheless, it's that first step is what pulls you out of the, I like your expression of the mud of the struggle. Let's go on to tip number four. Journaling has become really popular among certain parts of the real estate industry, and it's something that you recommend. What makes journaling important?
You know, it's so interesting because I started journaling heavily when I was in my leadership role in building my business, and I had started the business out of the bonus room of my house with Jordan being 1 year old. I look back and go, wow, that was gutsy. I had no idea what I didn't know. I just, you know, had this drive and this passion. So a lot of us who are in real estate, you know, get into that and then all of a sudden our business starts to grow and then we get that stuck place and then we overcome that hurdle and then we say, okay, now, you know, this is the cycle. So what I found is by journaling, it allows you to quiet your mind and get clear on what may need to come to the surface. A lot of times, I actually teach a workshop on writing prompts, how to get that writing going. And I remember coaching a gentleman who was in real estate, and I said, you know, you could just say, man, I'm really frustrated today at what happened with my seller because, and I said, because if you start with an emotion first, and I said, it's not that you're focused necessarily on emotion, but what happens is you get that chatter out of your brain. You get it out and released on paper, which I believe is all about being intentional in your business and what your actions are. Because if you can write that down on paper, then a lot of times that's released and you're not saying something that to someone that maybe 15 or 20 minutes later you regret saying. I remember coaching a real estate agent last year, and he was going through a life change and a separation. Now, you may say, well, you know, how does that relate? Well, I'll tell you, it related a lot because his transactions and where he was focusing was huge. I prompted him to start journaling where he wanted to go, and he literally realized that he needed to be slower in his reactions and be more purposeful or taking a time out when he was working with other people because he had a lot of stress on him at that time. So that's why journaling is important. Not only will it allow you to do a daily dump of activities or here's what I'm working on or here's where my struggles come up, what will happen is out of that, somehow, and you're the psychologist, Bernice, but you know, there's studies on this of how it releases another layer or peels an onion, if you will, of the creative solving situations that can come out of the journaling process where you go, wow, this is a new business opportunity. I never realized that. Oh, wait a minute. There's a shift in home builders right now. I wonder if I could, oh, yeah, like I talked to a real estate agent just last week because I was speaking at an office, and she's like, I have my background in interior design. And I said, well, how could you do that? So anyways, we started working in the process, and I had them journal for 60 seconds of what their business would look like aligned with something that they're naturally gifted or strong in. And she was like, well, I would actually love to bring the staging and the interior design business to my sellers. And I said, have you ever thought about taking that to builders? I said, you know, here's the case study of Betsy Ferguson in Lynchburg. And she was like, oh my goodness, that's a great idea. And it was only in journaling that idea for business growth came to life. It was grassroots.
Tricia, let's go on to tip number five, which is one that's near and dear, I think, to both of our hearts. It can't all be about business.
Correct. It can't be all about business. You know, people who are friends with me on Facebook, they'll say, what is she doing? She's working on furniture. She's coloring today. And what I find is I get so intense in business and activities, which I'm sure many of us all can relate to, that we have deadlines or we have proposals we need to write up or CMAs, that if we do that 24/7 and don't have another outlet, that our creativity shuts down. I mean, Bernice, look at all the creative coloring books that are now coming out. And they're saying because of the the creativity and how that releases growth in not only education, but also in business because it creates innovation. So it could be that you're not an artist, or it could be that you go fiddle in the garage and organize. That might be your thing. Or it could be just trying a recipe and cooking a meal or inviting a few friends over. It could be going for a day trip and looking at the fall colors. Those are things to do, because when you change your activities that are outside of business, what happens is then you get fired up about your business. You got to go outside and get that fresh air. But, you know, you might say, well, Trish, I go outside all the time because I show and sell houses. But when is the last time you actually, like, looked up and, like, took a deep breath and been like, oh, that feels really good? You know, it's in those moments of physical outlets and creative hobbies that allow you to gain fresh perspective.
Trisha, tip number 6 is being mindful of your inner circle. What do you mean by the term inner circle?
I was coaching a real estate agent, and she works with a group called Young Life, and she does youth activities. And she said, you know, what I did is to help them realize about how much their environment can be influenced by who's around them and the outcomes that they want to achieve. She says, I showed them a hula hoop, and I called it the hula hoop. You know, who's in your hula hoop? I was like, man, that's a good idea. So for those of us who know what a hula hoop is, it's something that goes, you know, around our waist and so forth. And for some of y'all who don't know what a hula hoop is, this will be a fun activity for you to Google, because I'm sure you're going to, like, probably want a hula hoop. And that might be your creative outlet, is to dance to a hula hoop. I don't know. But the inner circle is a great analogy with this hula hoop, because here's the thing about the real estate industry, Bernice. There's a lot of people in the real estate industry, right? There's a lot of people possibly in our office that are doing, you know, their own business. But it's the people that you are around on a continual basis that can really support the vision and the heartbeat of what your business is all about. So it could be somebody who's not just not giving you advice all the time, but just there to listen. And it's also maybe somebody who is in a mentorship role with you that you trust, that you can go to for advice, and you know that it's that true place of authenticity of, hey, where should I spend my money, or I'm looking at this. The inner circle is absolutely critical, because you've got to be careful of the relationships and how they can affect your overall business, because where that collaboration is and where that environment is absolutely huge. That's why you see these groups within the real estate industry, like Women's Council of Realtors or different ones, because it's about bringing like-minded people together. So I encourage you to look at your inner circle.
Let's go on to tip number 7, your vision and your focus. Could you draw the distinction between those two terms, vision and focus? And then you have a case study for us, I believe, too.
Times we'll hear vision and focus and thinking that they're the same thing. What I realize is they're not, and here's why. The vision is the big picture, and the focus is then after you have that big picture where you're going to hone your effort. So a good analogy is a camera. I do pictures for fun, for hobby. I just love it. It's a way for me to just bring down my blood pressure and relax, right? And there's two different types of lenses. Well, there's several different types of lenses, but I have two that I just absolutely love. And one is a 55 to 300, and any camera lovers out there, that's for seeing things really up close and getting something that's far away and bringing it into detail. And then there's another one that's like a panoramic, and it's like 70 to 140, which you would say, oh, man, that's not going to give a really clear picture, or is it? But what's cool about that lens is it gives a really wide view. And so when you are looking through a lens of putting out fires and in the daily grind, you can miss opportunities in your business that could actually make you money. So what you want to do is look at where is your big vision. So the case study I want to share with you is I was coaching a real estate agent last week, I was actually in the hotel room and she called me. I had just finished speaking at another office. And she said, you know, I'm really struggling with where my priorities are and really how to get myself to the next level in my business because I'm doing over 40 transactions by myself and I don't have an assistant. And I also am starting to feel burnout, right? I don't know what to do. And so I walked her through some things in regards to what she really wanted to have happen. In that process, when we took the big wide angle lens, right, she was actually doing volunteer work to pitch hit while the broker needed to hire somebody to replace some work, like some reception and admin work. They asked her if she could help out. Well, 40 to 50% of her work week over the last 2 months has been going to helping out. And all of a sudden she went, I had no idea. Because I asked her, I said, just intuitively, how much time do you think you're contributing? If we say we have a, you know, 45-hour work week or whatever, how much time is going into that effort? She said about 40 to 50%. I said, well, imagine if you had 10% of that given back to you and you could focus that on building your listing inventory. So we got very, very clear. Now, her vision, we knew from just the coaching process that two things that she wanted to do. She has three children and her last child is in her senior year and just got elected for student council president. So that's a personal life. So what I noticed is your business will thrive in conjunction with the clarity in your personal life. It just happens to interweave, interfuse, right? So I said, okay, you want to do that, and then you also love your work, right? And she said, oh, I love it. I love taking listings. I love working with people. And I said, okay, so why do you like that? You know, what gets you up every day? And she says, well, I want to give back to local charities and organizations that can help people in need, whether it's feeding them, clothing them. I really love doing that. And if I can grow my business more, then I can give back and fund those communities or fund activities, you know, spearhead them. I said, awesome. So now you have two visions of this is what I want the outcome to be. I'm doing my business because it does this, and I'm actually doing my business because I'm able, if I structure my business and my timeline and my time frame, I can give more to my family and do this. So then I said, okay, so how could you gauge each activity that you do based on these two things? Bernice, it was amazing. She was like, okay, I know what I need to do. I know where I need to cut and I know where I need to expand. So that's the vision. What's your long-term vision for your life and your business, because they do intertwine. You take your business home with you, especially in real estate. And then what priorities or activities should you focus on to make sure that it's supporting the vision? If it's not supporting the vision, you need to sincerely question if that should even be on your radar.
Tricia, tip number 8 kind of plays into tip number 7 about discovering your focus. How can our listeners discover where they are really spending their time? Because sometimes it's a real eye-opener as to how much time they're not spending on their business. You have a case study for us.
I was working with a gentleman who is a realtor, and he was, well, we'll just keep it real. He was actually complaining about, well, I don't see my business growing, and I'm not sure what's going on. And I challenged him in a 3-day challenge, and I said, for 72 hours, I want you to get that journal and I want you to log your activity all the way to what time you're getting up and even the coffee. And what happened was, is he journaled that over 3 days and we chatted. And here's what was interesting, Bernice. He was getting his coffee and then he checked his email. Then he reviewed his calendar. And then he chatted with his best friend who's in real estate. And then he called another friend. He did not, and then he needed to eat. So that was lunch. And he wasn't focusing on productive activities that would fuel his business until after 1 p.m. in the afternoon. If 50% of your business is not going on productive activity, that's going to probably indicate that eventually that's going to catch up with you. What was interesting is he had not even realized that that had happened, because there's studies saying that it takes 21 days to create a habit. And it's like me, I'm on a weight loss and I've lost 30 pounds and so forth, but we have to be intentional about it. We have to be very mindful of where we're putting this energy and this focus. And to be resilient, we need to make sure that we know these skills and we know these tools, so when we are muddling through a difficult situation or a challenge or a dip in our business, we go back to the formula that makes the shift happen, make the work happen, right? And so he had created this habit that was going to basically just destroy his business. So it was in that moment that then he knew where to focus his efforts and how to shift his whole calendar. That came down to literally like talking to his wife and saying, listen, you know, I just can't clean the carpets on a dime just because you asked me in one afternoon. Now, I'm being really real about that. That's exactly what was happening, because he had not structured his time. No one else around him respected or honored his time. That's huge. That's huge.
Yeah, absolutely, Tricia, because if you don't structure your time, it gets away from you. He was wasting 50% of his time on things that were non-business productive activities. Let's go on to tip number 9, is accept that you're not perfect. I see a lot of agents who beat themselves up, or they get stuck with the idea, I can't do this until I'm totally prepared. How can we get around that feeling that I'm not good enough or I'm not perfect, this is not perfect?
You know how I was sharing with this gentleman on where he was spending his time? Guess what? I uncovered that the reason why he was deflecting was because he was getting himself stuck in analysis paralysis, because he wanted everything to be perfect. He was like, well, you know, I don't want to go after these expireds because of, you know, I don't really have the script and the dialogue, and I don't really don't have that really good visual, and I haven't worked with a lot of expireds, and then there would be another thing that he would say, well, I need to get that down a little bit more. Well, actually, I can't even present on a for sale by owner until I make sure that I have at least this marketing material that I can go in with me, right? And so it's interesting that it was a combination of him and his habit, and then also being stuck in releasing that he was not perfect, which was stuck getting him into the analysis paralysis, totally analyzing, and not even making one step further. So what you have to do is you have to release that you're not perfect. And it's not going to be perfect every single time. I remember the first radio show that I ever did, you know, it was a little scary. It was a little nervous. And sometimes I still get butterflies. But the thing is that you have to seek out of your comfort zone and be willing to make a mistake, because in those processes is where the best lessons are learned. And it may be that you go into that listing appointment and that question comes up and you don't know how to answer it. Release it, and you don't have to even fake yourself to it. Just say, I'll find out, and that's a great question. I'm going to do a deep dive in relation to this. You know, it doesn't have to be perfect. Just start somewhere. And don't get caught in that analysis paralysis of, well, let me get it perfect and let me get it totally honed in before I release it. Because you know what? There was this lady that I was listening to, and she was like, I'll get to it tomorrow. I'll get to that tomorrow. I'll start my diet tomorrow. I'll start prospecting tomorrow. I'll do my YouTube video tomorrow. She says, because tomorrow never comes. So release that those days may not be perfect. Release the presentation may not be perfect. Release it. Not everything you eat is going to be perfect. You're not a robot. You're a human being. And when you do that, before you know it, you've moved forward into a place that you never knew you were going to move into.
Well, let's go on to your final tip, which is to practice self-care. And that's one that's near and dear to my heart, certainly, because I've struggled with it. What are your recommendations on that trip?
Well, I will tell you, it is one of the things that you spoke into me. And you had told me, Tricia, you need to practice some self-care. It was in the time when, you know, my son was in middle school. So, you know, middle school is a hard time anyways. And I was growing my business and I was multitasking, trying to be the wife and the mother and the leader and get sales on the board and create, you know, new offerings and basically wear all the hats. And he said, Tricia, you need to practice self-care. The reason why you're getting these colds and you're getting sick every 3 weeks and, you know, having antibiotics is because you're not taking the time to replenish yourself. I knew that, but it didn't go from my head to my heart to my gut to move forward. So as I mature in my 40s, I realize that if I can pass that on as a coach and a strategist to infuse self-care into your schedule, that it's absolutely critical. Because if you are burnout and you are tired and you're not doing things to just replenish yourself, and I know millions of people listen to this, and so it's a woman or a man, we both have different things, but as I know as a working mom, that I will give, I was known to give everything else and then I had little for me. Well, if we are a business person and we have little for ourselves, then the innovation is like strangled. It's like that beautiful wisteria that wraps around the tree and just chokes you. It chokes you. So what you want to focus on is what gives you, write down, just let it go. Nobody has to see it. Let it go. What gives you great joy? Is it some of those hobbies? Is it your dogs? Like my golden retriever is Gabriella, and she just brings me peace. She brings me joy. I'll listen to my favorite YouTube channel while going for a walk, but I won't be like, okay, I have to make this deadline for this walk. I'm going to reach this pace and da-da-da. I go for the walk for pure joy to just replenish myself. Because when you do that first, your business will be on fire because your soul is on fire.
Patricia, thank you for the kind words. And one of the things I thought that you said was very important is that when we think of exercise, I think a lot of us think of it as a task that has to be done and I got to go exercise. But when you take a walk with your dog for pure joy, exercise just goes hand in hand with it and it's fun and you look forward to it rather than it's a task. Well, anyway, I'd like to thank you for being with us today. We've been visiting with Tricia Andreasen. She's a business strategist and the best-selling author of Interfusion Marketing. And she's been giving us some tips from her new book called Resilience in the Storm, which is about how not only to survive in your business and have a better real estate business, but how to have more resilience in your life overall. Thank you, Tricia, for being with us today.
This is Bernice Ross, and thank you for joining us for MN Real Estate Radio. Be sure to tune in next Thursday when we'll be back with the industry's movers and shakers to learn what's next for real estate. For more insight, news, and analysis, visit MN.com. Make it a great day.